You're listening to the Psychedelic Invest podcast, where we speak with founders, CEOs, investors, advisors, experts, and thought leaders in the brave new world of psychedelics and entheogenic medicines. Brought to you by Psychedelic Invest, bringing you unparalleled psychedelic investing data and analysis. Psychedelic Invest is the industry's leading resource for those looking to invest in the burgeoning psychedelic industry. For more information and to access all of the podcast episodes, check out our website at psychedelicinvest.com/podcast. And now, here's the host of the Psychedelic Invest podcast, Bruce Eckfeld.
Welcome, everyone. This is the Psychedelic Invest podcast. I'm Bruce Eckfeld. I'm your host. Our guest today is Rebecca Nicholson. She is CEO and co-founder at 5D Ventures. We're going to talk about the world of psychedelics and where we are in terms of businesses, investment, research, understanding, application, kind of therapeutic models, really kind of this is a brave new world, a lot of things going on. Rebecca has been involved in several companies and has a pretty good view of the overall industry. We're going to talk a little bit about the state of the industry, where we are now, and hopefully where we can kind of go from here, and really kind of understand like where are the opportunities, where's the application, where are the uncertainties, and you know what the future may look like. So with all that, Rebecca, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bruce, it's so nice to be here. And you know, I just wanted to first start with thanking you for, you know, creating this platform for people to share their stories and continue to talk about psychedelics, because, you know, certainly it might feel mainstream in our worlds, but you know, there's a big world out there and it's certainly not mainstream in a lot of other worlds. So
Yeah. It's
good to continue to talk about it, share stories.
Yeah, I hope this information helps folks. I know we kind of end up in a bubble once you're in this world, and we
That's
talk
right.
about a lot and we kind of see everything. But the fact is that the rest of the world it's still, you know, anything from kind of highly uncertain to really scary. And so I think mm-hmm. more education, more understanding, more experiences, more anecdotes will help people kind of really see the power and where it can go and maybe where it can't go. So mm-hmm. yeah, I'm excited for this. Before we dive into everything you're doing with 5D, get a little background. How did you get into the work that you do, investment, psychedelics? Give us the backstory.
Yeah, well, I feel like, to be honest, that I came home and it feels so good to be here. It feels so good to be back. I was actually born and raised in the smallest province in Canada called Prince Edward Island. My parents ended up in the 70s. Some would have called them hippies. They preferred to be called back to the landers. Hippies kind of had that negative connotation back then of smoking weed all day and being lazy. But my parents and their community from, you know, the big cities, Toronto or Quebec or in the States, they thought outside the box and they were really community oriented and creative souls. And they kind of ended up on the island. And the first thing they did was they went into the woods and they built this log cabin. They didn't own the land. They were like, let's do this. This would be cool. And, you know, they were all university graduates and they're just curious and they're having a good time with community. And then they realized that they actually just really liked living there and they thought it would be a good place to raise kids and build houses and grow gardens. So really, I grew up with all these amazing, you know, like provocative thinkers yeah. and very connected to nature, and community was very important. So, you know, fast forward, I left the island when I was 18. I wanted to move to the big city and here I am in Toronto. And, you know, fast forward many years of, you know, different careers. I actually started before this kind of investment world. I was much more focused on health and wellness. So I yeah. kind of came into it from that perspective, from yoga, from breath work, meditation, mindfulness, self-compassion work, being in hot and cold submersion in nature, and really just passionate about creating more community. And I find, you know, in a lot of big cities, specifically what I feel in Toronto here is it's really difficult to create that really community oriented aspects for people because people are just so busy and it's yeah. just go, 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 go. So it's something I'm very passionate about. And then, you know, fast forward again to being introduced to the founder of 5D, and him and I started this business with more of a family office kind of perspective mm-hmm. from the very beginning. And not really quite sure how we wanted to fit into the psychedelic industry. This was probably about 3.5 years ago, so it was still quite early. Our first idea was to build our own psychedelic retreat in Costa Rica. And, you know, I brought in the health and wellness side. He brought in the financial background from, you know, working in the finance world in Toronto since he was 17. And so we kind of started down that route. And then, you know, fast forward again, we connected with different founders and we're like, okay, let's work on this idea. And then we started making angel investments and philanthropic donations and bigger investments in the retreat format and healers that are, you know, working with people today. And we became very passionate about, you know, the progression of consciousness and the potential for deep healing with psychedelics and making it more accessible and the ethical implications of working with these medicines. So restructured, rebranded, yeah. We started our first fund, which is a private equity fund called the Progression of Consciousness Fund. And we currently have 8 portfolio companies in there. And yeah, it's immersive wellness and retreats. And here we are today.
Yeah, yeah. I'm curious about how psychedelics actually came up for you personally. I mean, was this something that you were kind of exposed to or knew about early and had a kind of natural understanding and affinity towards? Mm-hmm. Was it something that you had to kind of grapple with? I'm always kind of curious how this comes up in people's lives.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I was raised with hippies, right?
Yeah, so. Exactly.
I always had a very open mind to exploration, I guess. And to be honest, Prince Edward Island, there's a lot of farmland and there's a lot of mushrooms that grow.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say, you know, there was definitely some experimentation.
Sure.
But nothing too crazy, nothing too extreme. Just the kind of the understanding of the mystical.
Yeah.
And it was very intriguing to me and something that opened up my eyes in a way that was very curious and immersive and interesting.
Yeah.
And later on in life, I ended up leaving the city quite often to go Crown land camping.
Mm-hmm.
It's land in Canada here that's owned by the Crown and it's not provincial park. It's literally like you're on old logging roads in the middle of nowhere with nobody around you for miles and miles and miles.
Yeah.
And it was really like the silence was almost deafening the first couple times I went out there. And then yet I just started craving it. And I think it's like city versus the middle of nowhere. It was just, I don't know, it just took over. And so there's, you know, a little bit of experimentation with mushrooms in nature. And for me, that was really the kind of transformational experience that you're able to really connect with Mother Earth and within yourself. But I had never done anything still, nothing, no big real trips. I had never, you know, worked with facilitators or therapists or any means like that. And then fast forward again to when we were thinking about making an investment into one of our retreat companies in Jamaica and Netherlands called Beckley Retreats.
Mm-hmm.
We had already gotten to know Rock quite well through Beckley Waves. We had already made an investment in Beckley Waves and we had donated to the Beckley Foundation with Amanda Fielding. And so I decided to go to one of their retreats. And that was the first time that I had ever done quite large doses. And it was the second ceremony that really, that where I really, really finally got it, where I was like able to fully release, let go and let the medicine do the work. And it was one of the most amazing experiences of my life. And I think forever changed me. And there was really a lot of side effects, like positive side effects that I didn't even know were even possible with me.
Yeah.
So it's been definitely a journey to say the least.
I'm sure. And so I'm curious how this kind of fits into or kind of complements the other modalities, the other work that you've done. I mean, do you see this as part of the tool set? Is this something you're now kind of exclusively focused on? You've been involved in many different kind of therapeutic wellness models. How does it relate to some of these others?
Oh my gosh, yeah. And they absolutely go hand in hand. I really believe it's not just one way and you're healed. You know, it's not just the magic pill that's going to fix your life. It's really, it is all about all of the modalities supporting your lifestyle. And for me, I was lucky because I already had such a great base and foundation of, you know, living a healthy life and understanding my body and my central nervous system and, you know, working with somatic therapists. And for me, it is fully the big picture of how all of these modalities work together and how to support yourself. And especially when we're talking about proper integration after these large ceremonies or journeys or doses, the integration is probably more important than the actual ceremony itself, because here we're talking about rewiring and the neuroplasticity in the brain and how to properly support yourself and with others to be able to support you as well is definitely an important part of the entire aspect of this type of healing. So yeah, they all work together. Absolutely.
Yeah. Interesting. as you got put together the fund and started looking at the industry, like what was the area that you wanted to focus on, or how did you choose where to focus and why? Like, how did you see what was happening overall and where did you choose to play?
Yeah. So when we first started making investments, we obviously had a vested interest in retreats because we knew a lot of people in the industry and we believed in the opportunity to help people today. And, you know, we did meet with a lot of biotech companies as well, but, you know, we were like, okay, but, you know, this is exciting and we understand the importance of this. And there's definitely some good people in the biotech industry, but like this could take 10 to 16 years maybe. And a lot of it just didn't really fully resonate with us. What did resonate with us was making this type of medicine accessible today with really heart-led warriors that really, you know, are doing amazing work with reverence and, you know, with indigenous wisdom in nature, in group ceremonial type of healing, talking about healthy food and natural plant biomass. That's what really inspired us. And that's what we really wanted to support. And, you know, when we look at our fund, we have three retreat companies. We don't have, you know, out of eight, we have three. And, you know, we're still looking, but it's really a tough one to nail down. We also have, you know, we invested in one business that works with ketamine and their Kuya in Austin, Texas. And we really did shy away from ketamine assisted therapy specifically because most of the models we see that's happening, there's really just not a lot of proper prep or integration. And there seems to be a lot of clinics and, you know, maybe not a lot of integrity with the work that's happening. But what we loved about Kuya was the full mind, body, spirit, and community, and all of the other modalities that we talk about, and them combining them with their ketamine assisted therapy program.
Yeah.
And then we have Othership, and it's like immersive wellness. So, you know, when you think about big city, so they're in Toronto right now, they're about to open up their second location. And they are creating an amazing opportunity for people to learn more about breath work and community and, you know, hot, cold exposure and all of these different modalities that can support your full journey as well and integration and creating that kind of, you know, and I know community is such a buzzword, but it really is about the truth. Everyone loves to throw, oh, but we're, you know, we're doing community, but it really is about true connection. Like, let's actually make eye contact here and like really connect and get to know people and, you know, be vulnerable and share deeply. And I think that's really missing in a lot of aspects and a lot of businesses right now because they're just throwing around that word a little bit too loosely.
Yeah, yeah. We did have Robbie on the podcast a while ago. I'll make sure we put a link to that program on there so people can learn about Othership and the facility. I'm curious, you know, as you look at these kind of modalities and what it takes to really provide these therapeutic kind of services, like where are the challenges as you look at from an industry and a growth and, you know, how do we bring this to people in need? Like, how do you kind of organize the market opportunity and how you approach it?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It's definitely hard to scale a retreat company and business. I think that all of this is going to take more time. There's really no winners or losers right now. Everyone's just trying to keep the industry moving forward as best we can. There's definitely challenges, but I think really nowadays what people really need is working with other people, you know, especially after the pandemic, what's going on in the world today. You know, there's just not enough resources for people suffering right now. And I think that, you know, over time, we're just going to need more and more and more of it. So we do really need to focus on the people, the light warriors, the people that really know how to work with others with integrity. Those are the people that I think we really need to support right now.
Yeah. And tell me a little bit of some of the companies you've invested in. Where do you feel like, how do they come together in terms of your thesis? Like, well, how are you kind of placing money and when do you choose to kind of get involved in some of these companies?
Yeah. So, you know, when I think about our first big investment that we made, they're called Dimensions and they're in Algonquin Highlands in Ontario. And, you know, all of our retreat companies, really, they have different models. So Dimensions, they bought the property, they built their own stunning cabins right now. And they've actually already been approved for the veterans approval. So they're going to be able to get veterans in there and work with people that really need this type of work with somatic therapy, psychotherapy in nature. And it's also cannabis friendly because obviously psilocybin and psychedelics is not legal yet here.
Yeah.
So when we think about retreats, one of the best models out there is having a third party pair. So if we're able to kind of work in that direction, I think that's a really positive way to go. And they're doing amazing work with people. They also have an Ascend retreat program, and that's for, you know, people out there that are looking for an opportunity to work on themselves, whether it's, you know, deep healing or whether it's just kind of reconnecting within themselves or opening up new avenues for themselves with different modalities as well. I mean, they're doing Qigong and yoga and breath work and sound healing. And they also have, you know, float tanks and biofeedback chair and cold plunge. And so it's really, you know, a beautiful opportunity for people to put themselves first if they're able to. You know, and then we have Beckley Retreats in Jamaica and Netherlands, and they're working with psilocybin, and they have amazing facilitators that are playing live medicine music while you're kind of, you know, moving through your journey and you're in nature. And it is really based in that group ceremonial setting, which is powerful. I mean, it's being proven that we heal better in community, and they're driving that forward. And then we have Holos in Diamante Valley in Costa Rica. And it's a stunning retreat center in the mountains. You can feel the healing energy from the land there, which is a powerful piece as well. And they're working with different medicines. They have the alternative health license as well, and working with a lot of integrity. So those are our main retreat centers.
Yeah. Do you see, I'm curious on the kind of evolution of psychedelics here, and that we obviously have a long, you know, thousands of years old tradition of sort of shamanistic medicine and traditional healing through plant and animal medicine. You know, as we kind of move into this more kind of medical, therapeutic medical kind of model, or at least adding this medical model to it, how do you see these things kind of playing out? Are we going to have this kind of integrated or kind of a gamut of options? Is this going to bifurcate into, you know, the kind of traditional shamanistic healing and then more kind of medical therapeutic healing? I'm kind of curious on your vision or prognostication on where this world evolves as we kind of look at the industry.
Yeah, I think we need it all. Yeah. I think we need every single element of deep healing opportunities for humanity right now. You know, it was interesting. I remember at one point I had this call with this amazing shaman in Colombia, and he didn't speak any English. He had an interpreter there translating, and it was one of the most powerful conversations I ever had. And he shook me because he said, this is an abomination, what the Western world is doing. And I was like, yeah, I know. It's, you know, we see that. But at the same time, the Western world really needs access to these medicines as well. So how do we bridge that gap? How do people work with, you know, full respect and, you know, be very aware and careful with, you know, the ongoing conversation of colonization and kind of taking over and, you know, making it their own. And I don't have all the answers. I just know that and believe that there needs to be room for it all. And whether the clinical model is set up specifically for, you know, extreme, you know, big T trauma or PTSD or eating disorders or, you know, these treatment resistant anxiety, depression, you know, big things that people need to work with, a psychotherapist or a therapist or a social worker, and to have that proper support so that, you know, they feel safe where they can actually move their trauma and, you know, emerge with a different perspective. And then there's people that really just want to explore their consciousness. And I really do believe that, you know, I think it should be a basic human right for us to explore human consciousness if we are in that place in our life and if that's something that we do or are curious with. But at the same time, some people just should not be doing psychedelics. And I think that's why, you know, with clinical, you know, setting or even, you know, our retreat centers, they do say no to some people because, you know, maybe they are just not in the right mindset, or, you know, maybe there's some things that they should be working on before they kind of dabble in the psychedelic world. So, you know, there's many different ways in working, but I think we just really need to focus on safety, proper set and setting, creating that powerful, strong, safe container for people to journey in a proper way. And also, you know, the ethical implications of people that are working with therapists, how to keep them safe, how to as well keep the therapist safe.
Yeah.
And to have these conversations and to, you know, and they are sometimes very difficult conversations, but they're important that they are had because many bad things have happened. And, you know, we need to be cautious not to create more trauma than there's already out there for people. So there's a lot to figure out right now, and I'm excited about things moving forward, It's obviously taken much longer than people expected, but you know, it's different from cannabis in that way, where cannabis was definitely more of the recreational play and psychedelics is the mental health. It's, you know, like, this is the long-term relationship. This is like family. So let's be careful and let's set this up properly and make these medicines more accessible to people that who could really benefit from them.
Yeah. I'm curious, I mean, it sounds like there's a little bit of a window that you operate within, and that someone who is, whose condition is sort of too severe or too complicated, you know, is probably not a candidate for you. And on the other hand, you want to be working with people that really want to do some work, not just kind of pure recreational, you know, intentions. Like, how have you kind of dialed in that window? How does it change? Why have you, like, how have you determined what that window is?
I mean, it's really up to the, you know, the clinicians or, you know, who the medical professionals to decide who's kind of ready at that point where they're at in their own lives.
Yeah.
But when I think too of, you know, I've seen so many decks, Bruce, coming my way and people trying to raise money and everybody wants money. I mean, we do too. It's no lie. Like, we're all trying to raise money, folks. And I wish could help everybody out there. But, you know, I do see a model that comes my way more often than I'd like to admit. And it's really like this model of, oh, we're going to buy this island, or there's this amazing, you know, place, we're going to buy it all up. And, you know, their entire team is like white males.
Yeah.
And it's like they're in, it's five star and it's, you know, very expensive to go there. And they have, you know, all of the stem cell, the longevity, and all of these different options for people. And, you know, I've had these difficult conversations where I'm just like, well, why do you want to get into psychedelics? Where is this coming from? Is this like, there's a real divide. And, you know, and I'm talking to these people and I'm like, you need to talk to some indigenous communities and you need to understand the implications of working with psychedelics. You can't just put that on your menu for your gold star clientele. And also, how are you making this accessible to people? And, you know, I've probably shook people up a little bit with some of these conversations because, to be honest, it's like, I remember this one call where I was just so tired of seeing it. I was like, you guys just don't get it. You just can't take over this kind of medicine and think that you're going to do good things with it. Like, this is where it turns into a poison. So we do need to have these difficult conversations and understand where people are coming from and why and what their motives are and like, and why they want to do it. Like, I mean, it's, do you actually really want to help people or are you just trying to make some money? I don't know. It's those difficult conversations that we need to keep addressing.
Because how do you balance that? Because I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you have investors, there's an expected return, right? I mean, yes, there's mission component of this. And I'm sure people are investing in this because they want to see, you know, change and impact in the world. But, you know, there is financial dynamic to this. Like, how have you balanced that with your fund and your investors? And how does this conversation look?
Yeah, I mean, well, if you think about a five-star super fancy retreat on a private island, I mean, who's going to afford that? The 1%?
Yeah.
And then out of that 1%, who wants to do psychedelics? Maybe 1% of that 1%. Like, and that's what I was like, how are you going to fill all your beds? Because that's actually not the best model out there. These people might have the money to pay for it, but a lot of those people don't really want to do that. So, you know, you have to be honest with yourself and be honest where we're at in this space right now, because it's not where we all want it to be. I mean, it's one thing, they're different things. I want it to be this, so I'm going to do this. But it's, if it's not that, then you can't pull it off. So, you know, for us and, you know, when we've met people in this industry, it was really about having those difficult conversations and seeing where they end up. And to be honest, like, I think this is, you know, a real feminine nature within, you know, working with people in investments is, you know, body language and like really reading people and trusting our intuition about how these people are working, how they're carrying themselves and what it is they're actually trying to pull off and why. So it really is about all those big questions and then like getting down into it and like seeing, you know, your model and your financials and how much you're raising. And who else are you partnering up with? And who's on your board? And who's in your deck? Who is your team? All of those big questions. And it is really important to get all through it when you're working through your due diligence and wanting to work with these potential partners. And to be honest, there's a lot of people out there that maybe they shouldn't be raising money from VCs or private equity, because that's just going to complicate their lives even further as well. You know, so maybe like think smaller. think about, you know, how you can actually work with integrity and really help people to move forward.
Yeah. So we're October of 2023, just to kind of set people's time frames for that, depending on when you're listening to this. And, you know, the industry obviously is feeling the general economic pressure of downturn. You know, we've got some political unrest, things going on in the world that I think is affecting every industry. But I guess, how have you seen kind of this impact psychedelics, either the investment side or the business side, both? And kind of what's your guess on how, you know, the next several quarters might play out for folks in the psychedelic area?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this quickly a few minutes ago, but really it's a tough time right now. I think that just in general, companies are holding on, let alone psychedelic companies. There's, you know, clinics are closing, philanthropic foundations are kind of shuttering their doors right now. It's really hard to raise money. It's hard to fill seats. I mean, I know that, you know, even travel is going down. We're moving towards a recession. A real estate crash is looming. You know, I think North America in general is going to be hit really hard. You know, there's a lot of unrest going on in the world right now. People are really feeling it. I am, you know, and I know us sensitive souls are feeling it quite heavily right now. So it's going to be interesting to see how we all ride. I think companies really need to save their money. They need to lower their burn as much as possible and be very, very careful about choices moving forward. I think that, you know, psychedelics, maybe another year before things kind of come back around. So really, guys, we got to hang on. Let's see, you know, where we're going to be at in another year from now. But like, I truly am passionate about this industry and advocating for it as best I can. I know I still have all of these people, you know, knocking on my door, like, be on my podcast or speak here or come here. And that's all great. But at the same time, like, you know, I have a mortgage that I need to pay too. Yeah. So how do we all make it work? I don't know. But I do really think that we do work better as a collective with co-creation, with, you know, creating those bridges and working with each other and supporting each other and, you know, continuing to hold that foundation with the heart-led warriors that really want to do the good work, because those are the people we really need to support today.
And where do you see kind of the regulatory world, you know, kind of shaking out? I mean, you're looking mostly at U.S. and Canadian markets, it sounds like. But where do you see kind of potential growth or setbacks when it comes to where we are in terms of legalizing and regulating some of these molecules, medicines?
Yeah, it's tough. And, you know, being stuck up here in Canada, it's, you know, I see a lot on the news with what's happening in the States, you know, and I mean, I do feel like the States is moving quicker than Canada and in a lot of degrees, like Oregon and Colorado, or, you know, working with psychedelic assisted therapy right now. California's had a bit of a blip, but maybe they'll be more focused on the clinical model. In Health Canada here, they're taking their time. They're waiting for more research, clinical trials. The SAP program, the Special Access Program, has been moving really, really slowly. There's definitely a lot of advocates pushing and knocking on the government door, just like trying to get the conversation to move forward. But it is a real slow process. I don't know how long it's going to take. I wish I had a crystal, you know, ball to be able to tell you. With a magic eight ball, like, I mean, I think the answer would be, you know, ask again.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, you know, maybe the focus is on different jurisdictions where it is, you know, still never being called illegal, like in Jamaica. And, you know, again, like making sure that people are working with proper prep and integration and creating different support systems and really leaning into that.
Yeah. Rebecca, this has been a pleasure. If people want to find out more about you, more about 5D, what's the best way to get that information?
Yeah, so you can find me, Rebecca Nicholson, on LinkedIn, or you can go to our website, 5dventures.com, or we're also on Instagram. We're just moving through a bit of a kind of reorg right now from 5D World to 5D Ventures. So it's a little bit more clear that we are investment management and, you know, focused on our fund right now, which is the Progression of Consciousness Fund.
Perfect. I'll make sure all the information is in the show notes. Rebecca, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
Thanks so much, Bruce. Always nice to talk to you.
Thank you for listening to the Psychedelic Invest podcast. If you liked this episode, please be sure to leave a 5-star rating and leave us a review. You can find more episodes on all the major podcasting platforms and our website at psychedelicinvest.com/podcast.